Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurrah. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone was rolled back. It was very large, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? And now, God, either through me or in spite of me, you speak to these your people. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I read about a small community several years ago that wanted to have an Easter pageant. They were just a small community. But they wanted to have an Easter pageant, and they wanted it to be big, and they wanted it to be bold, and they wanted to do it right. And they wanted to invite everybody from all the smaller surrounding communities to come and to see this Easter pageant. They'd never done anything like this before. The first task at hand was finding the right person to play the role of Jesus. I mean, if you don't have the right person to play the role of Jesus, everything's downhill from there. So they searched through the community to find just the right person to play the role of Jesus in their Easter pageant. They finally found what they thought was the perfect guy. He was a big, burly, oil field worker. The choice was controversial. Not because he was a big, burly oil field worker, but because of his past. He'd had kind of a shaky past, this guy. He was known to have a hot temper. In fact, he'd been in a number of fights in his past, a number of barroom brawls. And so there were a number of people that said, that's a terrible choice of someone to play Jesus. But on the other hand, the guy was a recent convert to Christianity. He had just recently given his life to Christ. And there were other people that said, what better choice? What better choice to play the role of Jesus? They made all the other choices for all the other characters in the pageant. They worked hard, rehearsed for weeks and weeks and weeks. Everything went smoothly. Finally came the day of the pageant, and sure enough, people came from all around And it was a big deal. It was a big deal, this Easter pageant. Everything went great. It came up to that powerful moment in the pageant where Jesus is carrying his cross through the streets on his way to Golgotha to be crucified. And they had all these folks in the community play extras to play the role of the crowds, to shout, crucify him as Jesus is carrying that cross through the streets. People were really getting into it and shouting over and over and over. There was this one guy, a little bitty fellow. He'd never been in any kind of a production before. And he was playing one of the roles of the extras, shouting, crucify him. He was really getting into it. I mean, really getting into it. And as Jesus was getting closer and closer, he got louder and louder. Crucify him, he said. Crucify him, crucify him. And as Jesus got right in front of him, this guy did something that wasn't written in the script. He stepped out in the street and he spit in Jesus' face. Now, that wasn't in the script. And everybody got quiet. And Jesus stopped in his tracks, the guy playing the role of Jesus. Slowly, he lowered the cross from his shoulder, wiped the spit from his face, turned to the little fella that had spit in his face, and said to him, I'll be back to take care of you after the resurrection. I love that story for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is those words, after the resurrection. After the resurrection. After the resurrection. Because it's after the resurrection, guys, that tells us who we are. After the resurrection, that's what it's all about for us. As followers of Christ, everything changes after the resurrection. That's what I want to talk about just for a few moments this morning. Let's look at a few ideas from our lesson today. After the resurrection reminds us, you and me, that we can have new life, you and I. After the resurrection tells us that we can have new life. And we can have that life right now. There was a big religious convention several years ago. People from all faiths. It was a convention for people from all different walks, all different faiths. They gathered together. And during that convention, two Christian ministers had gotten into a debate, into an argument about when life begins. One said that life began at birth, and he was very strong in his opinion about when life began. Life begins at birth, he said. There was another Christian minister there, and he said, no, life begins at conception. And he was just as strong in his argument, life begins at conception. And there were people in the room together, and they began to, you know how it is, they began to break apart and choose sides, and they began to point fingers back and forth at one another. When does life begin? One said life begins at birth. One said, well, life begins at conception. There was a wise old Jewish rabbi that was a part of the community. He had been in that community for years and years and years and years. Everybody loved him. Everybody respected him. Finally, they called upon the Jewish rabbi. They said, Rabbi, you've heard what these guys have said. One says life begins at conception. One says life begins at birth. When do you say? What do you say? When does life really begin? The wise old rabbi stood up, took off his glasses, rubbed his old bald head, and looked at everybody, and he said, I believe that life really begins when the kids leave home and the dog dies. When does life really begin? Here's what happens for us people of Easter. After the resurrection tells us we can have new life, you and I. We can have new life. And it can start right now. The life that Jesus wants for us, the life that God created us to live, we don't have to wait until after death. That new life, life in its fullness, life full of meaning and vibrancy, we can have that life. We can have it right now. You remember our lesson this morning? The women went to the tomb. When they got to the tomb, it was empty. The tomb was empty. And as Andrew said to our children this morning, that wasn't what was expected. The angel of the Lord was there and spoke to those women. And the angel said to those women, I know who you're looking for. I know you're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He has risen. He has risen. He's not here. He has risen. And then, do you remember what happened next? The angel said to those women, go tell his disciples. Listen, don't miss this part of the story. This is really, really important. I know why you're here. You're here for Jesus, but he's not here. See where they laid him? He's not here. He's risen. And the very next words that the angel said to the women was, go tell his disciples. Go tell his disciples. That's so important in our story. I read this morning from the 16th chapter of Mark's Gospel. If you turn back just a couple of chapters to the 14th chapter, it describes the Last Supper. Jesus gathered with his disciples for the Last Supper. And when the supper was over, Mark tells us that they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus and his disciples went to the Mount of Olives together. And as they were in the Mount of Olives, according to Mark's Gospel, Jesus turns to his disciples. And you know what he tells them? He says, you are all going to betray me. Whew, man. All of you, he said, all of you will desert me. You will all turn away. You will all run. You will all deny me. All of you. All of you. Peter was the one who spoke up. You remember what Peter said? They may all leave you, but not me. You can count on me. They may all desert you, but not me. They may deny you, but not me. You can count on me. I'm with you thick or thin. You're the Lord of my life, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to follow you wherever you go. You can count on me. And then he said, and this is in the 14th chapter, he said this. He said, even if it costs me my life, even if I have to die with you, even if I have to die with you, I'll never leave you. And in Mark's Gospel, you know what he says? The other disciples said the same thing. They all chimed in and they said, the same thing. We'll never leave you. We'll never leave you. You can count on us. Even if we have to die, we will never, ever leave you. In the 50th verse, the 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel, I think we have the most haunting verse in all of Scripture. 50th verse, 14th chapter. You know what it says? And they all forsook him and fled. Not me. Not me. You're the most important in my life. I'll never leave you. I'll follow you wherever you tell me to go. And they all forsook him and fled. You remember Peter? Peter said, uh-uh, not me. Remember what happened? The cock crowed. Cock crowed. And Peter knew that he had forsaken him. And he had fled. Forsaken and fled. It's interesting how Mark tells the story. The angel of the Lord said to those women, go back and tell those disciples. And do you remember what comes right after that? Go back and tell the disciples. It's really interesting. Only Mark says this. Go back and tell his disciples. And Peter. Go tell the disciples. And Peter. Well, hey, Peter was a disciple, wasn't he? Peter was a disciple. Why? Go tell his disciples and Peter. Why did he single out Peter when Peter was one of the disciples? There are scholars that believe that the reason he singled out Peter is because Peter needed it the most. Peter's the one who said, hey, I don't know about these guys. They may run and leave you, but not me. Not me. And in Mark's Gospel, in the 16th chapter, we have these wonderful words of grace, new beginning, forgiveness. Listen, the angel said, you go back and tell those disciples. Disciples had fallen. The disciples had failed. But there's new life, a new beginning, forgiveness, grace, 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 grace. And you can have it right now. Listen, friends, almost every single one of us in the sanctuary at one time or another in our life, you know what we did? We stood before a congregation and before God and we professed our faith. And you know what we said when we professed our faith? We said that Jesus was the most important in our life. You're the Lord of my life. I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll never deny you. I'll never leave you. You can count on me to stand up, and even when it gets challenging, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. And you know what happens? It happens to all of us. To all of us. At some point in our life, something else becomes more important than Jesus. You know how it is. Life happens. And the cock crows. And we look up, and we realize we're not the followers that Jesus has called us to be. And the angel said, you go back and you tell Cliff. You go back and you tell the people of First Church, the Lord has risen. He's not here. Words of grace. Listen to me, guys. Listen to me. You can have the life that Jesus wants for you, and you can have it right now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. It's part of the message of Easter. We're people after the resurrection, and after resurrection tells us we can have new life, and we can have that life right now. Secondly, after the resurrection tells us that we can be strong tomorrow because the risen Christ is with us today. We can be strong. You can be strong. This church can be strong. We can be strong tomorrow because the risen Christ is with us today. You remember when they went to the tomb? You know what the tomb is? The tomb is a place where dreams and hopes and wishes are shattered. That's what the tomb is. That's what the tomb is. These women and the disciples, remember, they had placed all their hopes and dreams on Jesus. He was going to be the one that was going to change everything. He was going to be the one that was going to lead them back into power. And now, all of a sudden, they watched him die hanging from a tree, the cross. And it's over. Look, it's all over now. It's over. Jesus is dead. When Jesus died, all their hopes and all their dreams died with him. It was over for them. They went to the tomb. You've been to the tomb. I've been to the tomb. Everybody goes to the tomb at some point or another in life. It's that place where things didn't go the way we thought they would go. The tomb is that place in life where all of our hopes and dreams and wishes were shattered and our hearts were broken. We've all been there. All of us have been there. We know what that's like. I was working out one day and I was listening. I like to listen to music when I work out. And I was listening to Bob Skaggs. Anybody here remember Bob Skaggs? I was listening to Bob Skaggs. And he was singing a cover of a song that was written by a guy named Tony Joe White. You remember Tony Joe White? Tony Joe White wrote Poke Salad Annie. You remember that one? Poke Salad Annie? Y'all are too sophisticated for Poke Salad Annie. Elvis made that one a hit, Poke Salad Annie. But Tony Joe White, well, he wanted to be a songwriter. One day he was driving a dump truck. He was in Georgia, and his job was driving a dump truck. And while he was driving that truck on the radio, there came on a song that was written by a woman named Bobby Gentry. You remember Bobby Gentry? Remember who Bobby Gentry wrote about? Bobby Gentry wrote about a guy named Billy Joe McAllister. It was the 3rd of June, a sleepy, dusty Delta day, and she wrote about Billy Joe McAllister. Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the... Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. That song was written in 1967, by the way. For those of you who like to know such things, I'm a plethora of worthless knowledge. And he wrote that song in 1967, and still today people are wondering what it was that they threw off of that bridge. That's a great song. And Tony Joe Whitesaw heard that song, and he said, you know what, that song's about life. Songwriters call it close to the bone, being close to the bone, being close to life. It's music that really, it's what life is all about. And he said, I want to write songs like that. And one day, he wrote a song, and the words were this: hovering by my suitcase, looking for a warm place to spend the night. Heavy rain's falling. Seems I hear your voice calling, saying, it's all right. It's a rainy night in Georgia. It's a rainy night in Georgia. And then this line, it's the best line of the song. It's one of the best lines ever been written in any song in the history of songwriting. You know what it was? Seems like it's raining all over the world. When it's raining in your life, it seems like it's raining all over the world. All over the world. On that day, in Jerusalem. It seemed like it was raining all over the world for those disciples. Listen to me. It was over. And you know what they did? Mark's gospel tells us what they did. You know what they did? They went back to Galilee. This is really important. Really important in our lesson this morning. But you go tell his disciples, this is the angel, and Peter, that he's going before you to Galilee. This is really important in our lesson this morning. Because you know what Galilee was for them? Galilee was their home. Do you see what they had done? They had given up. They watched Jesus die on the cross. All their hopes and dreams and wishes died with him. Their hearts were broken. So what did they do? They gave up. They gave up the mission. They gave up the ministry. They gave up the dream. Because it was over. And they went back home. We just go back to the way we used to do it. Listen, guys, it happens all the time. Doesn't it? Happens all the time. People, they give up. What happens? You go back home. You see what the angel is saying? You go tell the disciples, make sure you tell Peter. While you tell them, make sure you tell Peter that the risen Christ is going before them to Galilee. In other words, when they get back and they're beaten down and beaten up and they feel like giving up, Jesus is waiting for you there and he's waiting on you there to give you the strength that you need to see you forward in whatever it is that life is going to bring your way. Listen, friends, only after the resurrection do we get that. That's good news for people after the resurrection. We have new life. We can have the life that we want. You've heard me talk about living a better story. We've talked about every person in here this morning is living a story. And we can live the story, the better story that Jesus wants for us. We can have new life. We can have it right now. We can be strong for tomorrow. We don't have to give up. We can be strong for tomorrow. Why? Because we're so strong? No. Because the power of the risen Christ is with us today. And here's what makes all of that possible. Jesus has defeated the worst the world can offer, even death. Nothing can defeat us. Look, guys, nothing can defeat you. Nothing can defeat us. Because we're people after the resurrection. Not even death can defeat us. Because Jesus has defeated death. I was reading about a minister who was retiring. Well, that got my attention. Oh, well, I can relate to that. Guy's retiring. And the church had decided they were going to have a reception for him on his last Sunday. Well, I can relate to that. So I'm hooked, you see, and I'm reading about this guy. And he was remembering and reflecting. Well, I'm going to tell you, I can sure relate to that. I've been doing a whole lot of that the last couple of weeks. A lot of remembering and reflecting. I was doing remembering and reflecting. It came down to the last Sunday. Last Sunday we preached his last sermon. That we had this reception after the service. He got to church early that day, extra early that day. He went into the Family Life Center where they were going to have the reception. And there was a spray of flowers there. And as he was walking around and remembering and reflecting, he went over to this spray of flowers and it had a note on it. And the curiosity just got the best of him. And he reached over and he pulled out the note and he opened it up and he read it. And it said this, "Rest in peace." That's what it said. He thought, gee whiz, I'm retiring. I'm not dead. That's kind of strange. So he went into the office, and he'd been in this community a long time. He knew a lot of people, and he knew the florist. He knew the florist really well. And he got on the phone. He called her up. He said, "Look, I'm a little bit, I'm kind of concerned here and confused." She said, "What's going on?" He said, "I went in, you know, flowers came from you guys, and you know, I was kind of curious what the note says. So I went ahead and looked at it. It said, 'Rest in peace.'" She said, "Oh no, oh no, oh no." He said, "What's wrong?" She said, "You think you got troubles?" She said, "We got a funeral going on the other side of town. They got a spray of flowers, and the note says, 'Good luck in your new location.'" Yeah. Hey, you know what? That's some good theology right there. That's some good theology right there. The author Anne Lamott says that death for a Christian is nothing more than the change of address. Do you believe that? I believe that. Death can't defeat us. Death can't defeat us. Do you know why? Because he's defeated death. And because he has, it changes everything for us. After the resurrection, it's all different. It's all different. Let me close with this. You remember Peter? Peter denied him three times. Remember? Jesus said, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows twice. Cock crowed. Peter realized. Yeah. They came to him and they said, hey, you knew him, didn't you? Zach told us about that Friday. You knew him. Hey, weren't you with him? Whew, not me, man. You got me mixed up with somebody else. No. I think it was you. No. Not me. Hey, Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'll never leave you. I'll never desert you. I'll never deny you. Hey, weren't you one of his followers? No, not me. That was before the resurrection. After the resurrection, it was different. You go to the book of Acts in the third chapter. In the third chapter of the book of Acts, Simon Peter is standing in front of the same group of people that shouted Barabbas when they were given the choice. Remember when they were given the choice? Hey, who do you want? Is Jesus? Here's Barabbas. They said, hey, give us Barabbas. What? Barabbas? What do we do with Jesus? Remember what they said? Crucify him. And Peter is standing in front of those very same people. He's standing as close to them as I am to you this morning. And you know what he said? This is what he said. He said, you killed him. That's what he said. Same guy that just a little while before had said, oh, not me. He stands in front of the whole mob. And he looked at him and he said, you guys killed him. But God raised him. And we've seen him. And now you need to repent. When he got finished with them, he went to the religious leaders. Caiaphas was one of them. He called Caiaphas out by name. Called him out by name. Listen, this is as powerful as it gets in that day. And Peter looked power right in the eyes. And he was as close to him as I am to you this morning. And you know what he said? He said, you killed him. But God raised him. And we've seen him. And you need to repent. That's the difference. After the resurrection, we can be bold. We are people, my friends, after the resurrection. And because we are, we can have new life. We can have it right now. We can be strong tomorrow because the risen Christ is with us today. And nothing can defeat us because he's defeated everything. The Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.